imagine the unthinkable. After months of increasing tensions with Communist China, diplomatic relations shatter. All staffers have been recalled from embassies. Trade ceases. With American supply chains severed, the economy is ground to a standstill as Wall Street crashes. Inflation reaches levels not seen since Weimar Germany. The dollar is literally worth less than the paper on which it is printed. War has morphed from rumors to verbalized threats. On a Wednesday morning at 2:37 Eastern Standard Time, United States surveillance satellites detect 5 missile launches from the Manchurian region. They are moving at hypersonic speed. NORAD picks them up and determines they will reach California in less than 20 minutes. Frantic calls ripple through the military leaders until the Secretary of Defense contacts the White House, awakening the President.
Hello.
He summarizes the situation in a single sentence and asks the president for orders. Should we launch a retaliatory strike or stand down?
Get vaccinated.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hands off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry. Larry. Larry.
The world will never be safe from idiots. Of course, one man's idiot is another's blameless hero, as we're now finding out courtesy of the recent homicide committed by Trump impressionist Alec Baldwin. Regular listeners probably have no quarrel with anything I've said thus far, but Baldwin fans are likely screaming, "Bullshit! Innocent until proven guilty!" Because his fans don't seem to grasp the difference between homicide and murder. And they're lighting up Twitter with their absolution for Baldwin, with their usual false equivalencies.
It's not his fault, man. He was relying on the performance of a professional. You don't crawl under your car after a mechanic works on it, do you?
Well, yeah, I do. And if it was a serious repair, I'll test drive it on side streets before I head out onto a highway with La Familia. Baldwin apologists all seem to be people who never handled a gun, and also hate guns, unless actors are blowing people's heads off with them in movies, then guns are okay. It's alleged that this was a low-budget, non-union movie, and Baldwin was exec producing. Maybe Alec never heard Red Adair's famous words, "If you think it's expensive to hire a professional to do the job, wait until you hire an amateur." Baldwin's made a lot of movies. It's a reasonable assumption that one or more of those movies had a competent armorer who would or should have walked him through basic gun safety. The first protocol of gun safety is, no matter who hands you a firearm, you check it yourself to be sure it's not loaded. Takes about 3 seconds if you're slow. Then, even if it is clear, comes protocol number 2, a gun is not a fucking toy, not something to be used in a practical joke. You never, ever, ever play with it, period, no exceptions, none. Some allegations say that he was fucking around, that the director said, let's shoot that scene again, and Baldwin said, why don't I just shoot you two instead? And then did. And one of the recipients of that practical joke is dead. If that account is accurate, and it may not be, but if he was playing with a gun, that would make him an idiot. But he's not a murderer. Doesn't seem there was any motive or malice aforethought. But that doesn't make the victim any less dead. It's also been reported that upon belly shooting the cinematographer, his first words were, "Who gave me a hot gun?" If that statement is true, we'll know all we need to know about said thespian. But so far, all that is conjecture. Only a few people know what really happened. And years from now, we still may never know what happened, because when jail and money and death are involved, facts tend to get bent, blurred, even buried. A U.S. president was shot and killed on film in front of thousands of witnesses, and nobody's still certain exactly how it happened. As far as culpability goes, there's a very simple question any first-year law student could ask that settles the entire issue. Was there anything Baldwin could have done that might have averted the death? Answer, yes. He could have checked the gun himself. Idiots are everywhere. The biggest idiots of all are those who believe technology will somehow, someday, maybe even tomorrow, override the actions of idiots. That ain't happening. Even with a highly vaunted AI, it's still science fiction. Stupid people will always do stupid things, and no amount of fail-safe, redundant systems will ever eliminate risk or injury or death. Our culture is rigged in favor of idiots, isn't it? That's because of a number of silly social lubricants that smooth brains misinterpret. Those smooth brains may do incredibly stupid shit and think there are two magic words that repair all damage.
I'm sorry.
Where does that notion come from? Preschool teachers? The Catholic Church? All the words "I'm sorry" do is make the transgressor feel less guilty. Doesn't do a thing for the injured party. You've doubtless seen morons injure other people. I once saw a guy fling a bat behind himself at a softball game and knock out a bystander's teeth. The victim was justifiably furious, and the bat-throwing fucktard said,
"I said I'm sorry."
As if that made it all better.
"I said I'm sorry. What more do you want?"
Actual remorse? The victim probably wanted to knock the bat-thrower's teeth out, and maybe should have. Of course, there are many attorneys who will ensure negligent assholes are sorry once they find themselves destitute with garnished wages and so on. Not only is our culture rigged to favor the idiot, so is our language. Whether people are involved in a parking lot, fender bender, or total wreck, they always say the same thing.
"I had an accident."
Well, whether it was an accident or not remains to be determined. What they always had was a collision, but they never say that. Right after "I'm sorry," or maybe even before it, the other perceived magic words that mollify morons are,
"I made a mistake."
That's very popular right now. Dolts love to hear that from politicians and corporate snakes who do egregious things. Their handlers tell them to say,
"I made a mistake. I screwed up. We can do better."
Watch for that exact sequence of phrasing. Next time some bag of shit politician gets caught with his pants down or hand in the till, the pronoun distancing trick. "I screwed up. I made a mistake. We can do better." Hear how that "I" morphs into "we"? Suddenly it's our mistake. We're all in this together. Then the mouth breather in the public, whose entire life has been one seamless fuck-up. Thanks.
He's just like me. I make mistakes, too.
Of course, we all do make mistakes. Lots of them. But for some people, they're habitual. Where do mistakes change into negligence? Well, just ask your favorite personal injury attorney. He'll tell you. Wonder what Baldwin's PR flax and lawyers will tell him to say. Right now, he's mostly silent, and that's smart. Because maybe in a day or a week, some other celebutard will burn down an orphanage, and that will knock Baldwin back into the shadows. The Mach 5 news cycle is a gift to famous fuck-ups. The hand of fate is sometimes inescapable. I did a show about that way back in episode 11, how Larry cheated death, and you can too. That's in the February 2017 tab at thatlarryshow.com. You should listen to it next time you visit a dentist. But some of the time, we can do things to idiot-proof our lives, or at least portions of them. A few days ago, I was performing an oil change on a car. Why not go to the national chain whose first name rhymes with iffy? Because one of their idiots once overfilled the crankcase, that's why. Lucky for me, it was a company car. I really didn't care. But for my own wheels, I DIY whenever possible. I needed a crush washer for the oil plug. Checked online, they had them at the nearby OOO O'Reilly store. You know, jingles are the most effective type of advertising, and always will be. A part that small and arcane would not be on the retail floor. I'd have to get it from the parts man behind the counter, and sometimes those guys are fantastic. Sometimes, not so much. So in an attempt to idiot-proof my shopping experience, I grabbed a screenshot of not one, but two iterations of the crush washer I needed. At the store, exactly what I anticipated would happen did happen. I told the guy what I wanted and then held up my cell phone, which showed the part and the part number so he could then pull it up on his computer. He tapped the keyboard and presto, there it was. Then he enthusiastically said, sold out. And why shouldn't he be glad to impart that news? Doesn't affect his hourly wage. It's a lot more pleasant out there on the selling floor with the daylight and the Technicolor floor mats and Rain-X wiper blades and those gleaming golden 5-quart jugs of Castrol 20,000-mile synthetic. And you never know if some pointy chick might wander in. If you're back in the dank, depressing supply room looking for my crush washers, you'll miss all that. The image I first showed him was a blister pack containing several washers. But there was another version, the single washer, and it was clearly marked in stock. I held up my phone again and mentioned that the website says they're in stock. He was not pleased. He sauntered back into the bowels of the supply room. When I looked at his computer screen, there were both items side by side. Is it possible his eye never wandered over that computer screen, that he never saw the same washer in stock? Yeah, but it was unlikely. After a while, he returned with my washers. Was he an idiot? Probably not. Was he lazy? Could be. I'll never know, and I don't care. But had I not taken a few moments to idiot-proof my excursion, I'd have wasted gas, which is now almost $5 a gallon in Southern California, and I'd have wasted irreplaceable time. There's no amount of training a corporation can give an employee to eliminate carelessness, lassitude, or apathy. So when idiot-proofing your life, the key is trying to eliminate as many layers of idiots as possible. The insurmountable problems happen when we're buried in layers of potential idiots, any combination of which could ruin your day or snuff out your life. How many hundreds, hell, thousands of people are you trusting when you board an aircraft? How many thousands of guys designed and assembled that plane? Were any of them sleepy or hungover, maybe still drunk? Bet on it. And then hope they were involved in something unimportant like seat fabric color selection or the tone of the announcement chimes. And how about the maintenance of that plane? That's outsourced all over the world. What if the last stop was Jakarta, and the dude checking pressure on the landing gear got a call from his wife bitching him out for being late with the alimony, and he just walked away from that dangerously underinflated tire? That's probably the root cause of most catastrophes. Distractions. And now that every person on Earth is carrying their own personal distraction device every waking moment, well, how could we not be in more danger than ever? Even if every single person involved in putting your plane in the air was sober, well-rested, competent, and had his cell phone turned off, well, what about that Airbus circling the airport right behind you? Mid-air collisions still happen with some regularity. There was just one last May over Colorado, and the first one was in France in 1922. Now that's a head-scratcher. How the hell many planes even existed in 1922? But every year or two, planes managed to smash into each other, even with all the latest and greatest technology. Even the space station just got smashed with some cosmic junk. By the way, the name Airbus was so prophetic. Once upon a time, airliners had names that connoted the adventure and elegance of air travel. Comet, Constellation, Convair, Concorde, Caravelle, Dreamliner. Who the fuck wants to ride on an Airbus? But then, considering how awful flying has become, a bus trip would be an upgrade. Once, flying was a civilized and pleasant experience, but that's over. And the airlines are complaining more and more about passengers' behavior. The problem has become so severe that Joey Bag of Maggots Biden, the mandator-in-chief, well, he's going to get tough on disobedient air travelers. Well, he's not going to get tough. He can barely handle a plate of scrambled eggs, but he's going to sick his DOJ thugs on air passengers, same as he sicked the Federal Bureau of Incompetence on parents who complain to school boards because, according to Joey, complaining is terrorism. Just listen to rough, tough Joey laying it down.
I've instructed the Justice Department to make sure that we deal with the violence on aircraft coming from those people who are taking issues. We're going to deal with that.
Hang on a minute. First, Joey says the violence on aircraft, but then he says it's coming from people who are taking issues. Is that contradiction in terms a susan of truth slipping into Joey's rhetoric? What exactly does taking issues mean? That might be someone who maybe has a full puke bag in the seat back pocket. Or maybe the tray table won't stow. What do you want to bet Joey and the airlines are lumping everything together in one basket? Listen to how the newsreader tags it.
So far this year, there have been more than 4,600 incidents. The FAA has imposed more than $1 million in fines.
4,600 incidents. Well, what exactly is an incident? They don't define that, do they? And they won't. Flying became a shit show in the post-9/11 world, with a lot of flight crews believing they are actually sky cops. And in point of fact, they are. If you get in a beef with them, they call the FBI. But if your flight is delayed 5 hours, or you paid for an aisle seat but you're sandwiched between two quarter-ton passengers, or your luggage is lost, or they just talk to you like you're some piece of shit, who do you call? Listen to this dialogue. The flight attendant just doesn't like the look of the passenger's face mask. It's completely covering the dude's nose and mouth, but the blue-gloved uniformed authority figure wants to show him who's boss on his airplane.
I need you to wear the mask I gave you.
I'm wearing a mask.
No.
Yeah.
What do you have underneath it?
What?
What do you have underneath this?
I'm wearing a mask. Legal by who? Legal by who? What's wrong with my mask?
According to the CDC.
Really?
Really.
Show me those rules.
Show me those rules. I don't have to show you the rules.
Well, I don't have to wear the mask that you gave me. I'm wearing the mask that I have.
Well, then...
I've been on 20 flights, okay?
Well...
I've literally been on 20 flights with this same exact mask.
I don't...
All right, well, I'm done talking.
Well, so am I.
Okay.
And we'll have the authorities waiting for you when we land.
Okay, sounds good.
You hear that? He didn't approve of the guy's mask, maybe because it's covered with stars and stripes. So he'll have the authorities waiting for him when they land. Does Joey and the FAA and government ever wonder why there might be more incidents on planes than ever before? Could it have anything to do with the fact that every flight is packed to the rafters, that seats are now smaller than ever, with less legroom than ever? Does Joey even know that in his regulated world, there is no regulation on how many seats an airline can bolt into a plane? None. How fucked up is that? Step on any elevator, and the sign tells you what the maximum capacity is. Why is that the case? Crony capitalism. Airlines and government are whores and johns, and the lobbyists are the pimps, and the losers are all of us. You think Joey has ever flown coach in his life? When Air Force One is ferrying his bony ass all over the world, and the stylists are checking his hair plugs and bleaching his dentures, do you think anyone is giving him shit about the positioning or type of his mask if he's wearing one at all? Is some inconsiderate chooch reclining his seat back into Joey's lap? Do they ever lose his luggage? And are his flights delayed or diverted? It's really funny to hear all the talking head imbeciles squawk about our vaunted democracy. Every time they say that, they're wrong not once but twice. This is not supposed to be a democracy. It's supposed to be a republic. And in point of fact, it's really become kind of a monarchy. All hail Emperor Joey, the mandator in chief. Better do what Joey says or he'll sick an entire alphabet agency on your ass. We are surrounded by idiots. From the White House to some cheap-ass movie set in New Mexico. More allegations have come out that before the killing of the cinematographer, there were other gun mishaps on that production, and some people wisely chose to quit. Too bad those that remained didn't order some Kevlar vests. That would have been an idiot-proofing measure. Ultimately, many of us need to idiot-proof ourselves against ourselves, huh? We will eat junk, drink too much, stand on the top step of a ladder, dive headfirst into shallow water, become distracted while using a chainsaw. No one is immune. As I was doing that oil change and pondering this very episode, I placed my cell phone on the grill of my car. I quickly forgot it was there and knocked it into the engine compartment. That was an idiot move. Had my daughter not been home with her slender hands and wrists, I'd have had to unbolt the splash guards to retrieve it. A lot of life is luck, and having the right people around. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. Always great to be with you. For hundreds more episodes, slide over to thatlarryshow.com. While there, hit the subscribe button so you never miss one. If you feel like it, leave me a 5-star review wherever you download the show. It really helps it grow. If you enjoyed what you just heard, why not help me keep this show going? You can do that by clicking the Patreon or PayPal buttons, and there's a P.O. Box address if U.S. mail is your preference. There are a few classic retro motel key fobs left, and if you want one, they're only 10 bucks. They look right, feel right in your hand, and won't get lost in your bag. You'll spend less time looking for your keys, and best of all, they signal the world that you are a member of the Take No Shit Dojo and the greatest audience in all of podcasting land. You can get them at thatlarryshow.com. This show has a presence on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and my new favorite, Mastodon No Agenda Social, where there are a lot less commies and idiots, which is the same thing in most cases. You can find links to those platforms also at the homepage. And if you want to write, it's thatlarryshow@gmail.com. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts. And until that time, avoid idiots wherever possible and take no shit.